द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यं एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि ओम। Relations to Sadguru is Brahman, the giver of supreme bliss, embodiment of pure consciousness, one without a second, vast as the ether, infinite, eternal. Beyond the three gunas and their modifications, the supreme preceptor. Yoga Vasishtha Nirvana Prakarana Purvardha, section 120. Prajapati Manu continues to give spiritual wisdom to great king Ikshvaku, who is also his own son. And this is being related by Vasishtha to Rama. Presently the topic is conduct of an enlightened person. How does he conduct himself in this world? And just to reiterate some points that I have told you before. For majority of people who are not enlightened, ego takes upon itself the responsibility for karmas. And suffers the consequences. In a humorously, an illustration is given that some villagers were traveling in a train, and there comes a train supervisor comes inside, and there was a big bag. He says, "To whom does this bag belong?" Now, it didn't belong to anyone. But some clever man, thinking nobody is owning it, I will own it. So he says, belongs to me. The moment he says, belongs to me, he is taken to prison because that bag contains something illegal. It's a crude illustration. Karma is performed by five factors. Adhisthanam tatha karta karanam cha prithagvidham vividascha prithak cheshta daivam daiva panchakam. That's Gita's statement. First is the field. A simple illustration is given. Suppose you are producing wheat or some other type of vegetation from a from your field. You need to have a field, and there has to be a farmer. Field, farmer. Farmer has to have instruments, and with all this, farmer must develop the knowledge, technical knowledge of how to sow the seeds. And still, there may not be success. If rain doesn't come in time, then all that effort goes in vain. Relating to your own personality, the body is your field, the mind-body set. Soul within you is the farmer. The soul has gone on using body for creating karmas. And present life, the same process continues. The soul is the doer. And the equipments before the soul are mind, senses, pranas. Even if you have all this and you are involved in doing various projects or you are involved in letting the field bring out, produce, if there is no divine favor called destiny, daivam, all your effort will go in vain. So all these five factors are always involved in bringing about performance of an action, performance with success, or maybe with failure. Any performance of action has five factors. But ego takes upon itself the responsibility. I am the one who did certain karma and how miserable I didn't succeed. Or how great am I that I have succeeded, and look at these Dalit people, they don't succeed. This form of thinking, highlighting your ego because thinking it is ego that brings about all things, that's due to ignorance. In a sage, one who is enlightened, ego is not highlighted. And therefore, there is no mental distress for a sage. Also, I have explained to you, yoga karmasu kaushalam. In everyday life, karma presents itself to everyone. Every day opens with certain plan, certain type of karma, certain type of duty you must perform. It can be very ordinary duty, perform some cooking. But even if you suppose you are just doing to do the job of cooking, if you had a good plan and do it with a yogic spirit, even that work will become a part of a spiritual enrichment. important point that's brought out is that everything you do is a part of yoga. Actions that you do in daily life, as well as your own sadhana. Generally, people view their sadhana, sadhana time. You have set apart time for meditation, japa, and you do it, and then you think that that's the only time that has been so wonderful. The whole other time is just wasted because we are not with God. But that's there lies a big error. You are always, everything that you do must come under the umbrella of yoga. And therefore, every project that you handle should have three great components or qualities. First, you must understand the project. Hindi word is samaj. Samjho. Samaj kar karo. Even if you have gone to extinguish fire that is burning haphazardly, you must have some understanding. Don't put on a big gown and then go after the fire. Second point, sanyojan. Create a plan of how are you going to handle that job. Job can be very little. Even just, as I said, just the kitchen work or office work, or if you are a student, preparing your classes. Farmer, you are preparing your field. Businessman, you are doing his your job your own way. Any professional have their own jobs. All jobs are karma yoga. They should be done with the spirit of karma yoga. And therefore a special quality must develop in performing your duties. And the quality is three types. Good understanding of you, of what work you have to handle. A good plan about your work. And third, called samveg. Do not do the work in a dalvit manner. Do it in a qualitative way. You can make just tea. Dalvit manner, you bang upon it, all the tea goes into the fire. Then you start again. The skill in action. You do not waste your energy. And with minimum energy, you begin to accomplish more. Thereby, you have greater ability to produce a lot, and within a qualitative manner, and in a shorter duration, an accelerated movement comes while you perform your job. Two types of acceleration: the performance of the work and the inner joy and clarity that develops within you. Because the most people, when they do their work, they become full of perspiration. Yogic way of doing karma, it leaves you with inspiration. Some perspiration is there. So these points need to be understood well. When Ahamata Dhyas, the illusory identity with ego, you are identified with ego, that's due to ignorance. Ego is not you. But if this Adhyas moves away, a constant awareness, I am not the ego. All the story of your life is based on your ego. And egos are many. In this life you have one particular type of ego. Your previous life had ego number two. Previous, there was another ego. I'm giving a very broad picture. And in each embodiment, ego-based identity went through lots of pleasures and lots of pains. All this story of life, it does not relate to the soul. It doesn't relate. It relates only to the ego. Soul is a ray of God. So if you were to, therefore, lift this illusion of ego, You will experience cool feeling. Your bhavana will become profound. In the firmament of your heart, the divine feeling will manifest like a waxing moon. It's a poetic way of saying it. Coolness of the moon and the brilliance of the sun blend in the life of those who are enlightened. In their heart there is cool, moonlight, ananda, bliss. Personality of Look at a cottonwood tree. Lots of cotton develops like a big fluff. That's the blossoms of the cottonwood tree. And that soft fluff of cotton is blown away by wind. You don't know where did it go. Like sandalwood tree is the life of an enlightened person. His karmic process, his karmas are burnt up. Through his personality, he performs lots of actions. But all those actions do not create bondage for him. Those actions are like the fluff of the cotton blown by wind. Others don't have the same luxury. Others perform their karmas, and their karmas will bring about the fruit of karmas. And that's a complicated process. You are led by, you do karma, another karma joins in. One karma dissolves, new set of karmas develop. But in the case of a sage, his karmas are blown away. A ray of jnana, wisdom, enters the life of one who is enlightened, or one who is going to attain enlightenment. And that ray goes on growing day by day. This points his finger to what Gita has taught about Uttarayana Marg. The northern path. The Gita gives in a very allegorical language that whoever dies if a person were to have attained enlightenment, at the time of death he is led by the deity of fire, then led by the deity sun god, then led by the deities of the bright half of the month, and then 6 months of the northern course, those deities lead him. This becomes a very difficult way to understand what Gita wants to say, but the meaning is simple. Remember, 4 great deities must bless you. Don't wait until the time of death. But in daily life, prepare for attaining Uttarayana in day-to-day life. How can it be done? The fire must burn within you, that is to say, perform your karma yoga. Yoga karma sukaushalam, as I have already explained. Everything that you do, do it with a special spirit. Encountering a duty should be just like encountering a river. If you are a swimmer, you encounter a river. Performing the duty is just like entering into the river. And swimming in it. Succeeding, completing your duty is swimming and being recharged. 3 words. Sat Chit Ananda. In a more poetic setting, Sheetal Mand Sugandh, cool, gentle, fragrant. You go into a garden, and that's what you enjoy. Outside you have been coming through the hot sun. Inside the garden, cool. The moment that is cool, gentle. And fragrant. When duties present themselves to you, that art is not there in majority of people. To feel a sense of coolness. I have been in an inertia, here is something I must do. Take it with a positive attitude. When you start handling it, become gentle, graceful. And when you have handled it well, an inner fulfillment. The purpose, certain purpose has been fulfilled. God will give you another set. So there are people who become, they do lots of seva karya, lot of service of humanity, and yet they remain inspired. So as I was explaining, the deity of fire, that's what corrects your attitude to action. And that goes on in spite of your aging body. Next, the deity, the sun. The sun relates to viveka buddhi. Your intellect goes on understanding. The real I am is different from the body, mind, intellect. Viveka vikas. Viveka, discriminative understanding goes on growing. And then Shukla Paksh, bright half of the month, the deity of the bright half comes to shower grace. The deity of the bright half is waxing moon. That's bhavana vikas, feeling aspect of your heart begins to blossom in a mystical way. You develop divine love within your heart, and it grows. And then you come to the fourth aspect, the northern course. Northern course is daylight goes on increasing. Symbolic of your consciousness goes on expanding. As you enter into samadhi, from the limited, restricted form of consciousness, you are moving to unrestricted form. From lower samadhi, you go to the higher samadhi. It is a movement in super consciousness. And that is ever increasing. These are the characteristics of one who is enlightened. One who is blessed by the fire of karma yoga. blessed by the sun, this Vivek Buddhi, the intellect that discerns who am I, increasing discernment, blessed by the moon, allowing your feeling, your love of your heart to blossom. And then the blessings of the Akasha, pure consciousness begins to unravel itself in expanding succession. And if that has become your reality, you are enlightened, or if you are not, you are surely moving towards enlightenment. Either you have attained enlightenment, that is called Sadhya Mukti, instantaneous liberation, or you are moving on Krama Mukti, progressing. When you progress on the path of enlightenment, even though you have not attained it, the attainment is absolutely secure. Because once your steps move on the right direction, there is no reason for them to slip back. Now, those who do not attain that goal of liberation, this is the picture of liberation. Those who don't, they adopt Dhumra Marga, the path of smoke. Instead of the blessings of the fire, you get the blessings of the smoke. It's not blessing, but a curse. Smoke means you are unable to understand what your duty is. And even though God has given you a lot of opportunities, good capacity, you don't recognize it. Next point, Vivek Buddhi, instead of having that subtle discernment, a discerning understanding that I am different from body and mind, you develop more intense illusion, I am this body. Who is like me? No one. You may not have that type of ego, but at least this form of intense involvement is lack of vivek. So these blessings of the sun are being reduced. And the blessings of the moon, your bhavana, feeling becomes so restricted. And you experience moha. You love people, you don't know whether it is a real love. You are dependent. You are dependent in such a way that you have no other choice. So it is not real love. I'm just giving you one simple illustration of moha. So moha increases like this. Instead of having the bright half of the month, it's the black half of the month, where the moon begins to diminish and vanishes from the sky. And the Akasha, consciousness, goes on shrinking. All the consciousness that you know is your mental consciousness, sense consciousness, body consciousness. But the absolute consciousness has absolutely gone far away. That is the path of smoke. Dakshinayana, the southern path. Those who don't attain enlightenment, they follow that process. And that process does not open up at the time of death, but day by day you are not able to utilize your energy. Day by day you are filling your heart with mixed up feelings, lot of illusions, and you live a style of life that makes you shrink, as it were. In the next section, Manu Maharaj takes up the topic of bhavana. What type of feeling develops in a person who is enlightened? Or what type of feeling one should develop in order to attain enlightenment? As long as there is desire for enjoying objects of the world, by that means as long as your love, your attachment is to sense enjoyment. To many people, enjoyment doesn't mean any more than sense enjoyment. As long as you are dependent upon experiencing the world through the senses, you are a jiva, individual soul. Another term is given, you are a pashu, like an animal. With eight fetters are different type of jealousy, pride of family, pride of race, fear, egoism, all these different, there is a whole set called eight pashas. Every jiva is called Pashu, and God is called Pashupati, the Lord of all these creatures. As long as you are a Pashu, God continues to guide you, so that you become free of the pashas, free of the impurities. Once you are freed of impurities, jiva becomes Shiva. Instead of being a pashu, he becomes Shiva himself. Do not become trapped in the world of coming and going, avagaman. These people are mine. Here are my sons, these are my grandsons, and these are the relatives and friends. This form of building up ego-based attachment and intensifying me and mine, these two illusions, they are described as Shumbha and Nishumbha, big demons in the Devi Puja scripture. And it is they are targeted in every mantra. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Shri Ramaya Namah. Namaha means neither me nor mine. The me and mine are like big demons. If your consciousness is gripped by me and mine, you are going to be tumbling in the world process. And you continue to go to lower levels, to one lower level, then again going further low. And you may also go up and down. But one who has renounced ahamta and mamata. Ahamta, this is me. Mamata, these are mine. One who has kept his consciousness free of the load of ego and ego-based illusions. That soul is drawn up and up and up. A divine magnet draws that soul. But the soul that is sticking to ego, that soul goes downwards. O Ikshvaku, when you come to realize that you are pure consciousness, indivisible, immutable, and that consciousness is the absolute reality, with that realization you cross over the ocean of the world process. Being Brahman, you become Brahman. You are already Brahman, the Absolute. And as such, since you are the Absolute Self, Brahman, create affirmation in your mind. Affirmation that I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not limited. All that is created by Brahma, Vishnu, Indra, Varuna, and all great gods, all that is created. I am the consciousness behind all these deities. Therefore, I am Brahma the creator, Vishnu the sustainer, Shiva the destroyer, and so forth. You must realize this type of affirmation has absolutely no pride, no conceit. It's completely rid of ego. And develop a profound understanding. The scriptures are taught in so many ways. And the ways that are taught, they seem to be different from each other. But in reality, there is no difference. Same teaching is presented to different people according to their level of evolution. Adhikari bhed. Take it very in a simple type of a logic. You want to explain some geographical phenomenon to a child. You have in your house a child and a grown-up. To the grown-up you explain in a little different way. To a child you explain in a different way. And the third one records both and says, why are we lying to the child? But the reality is, you are teaching the same. You are teaching the same truth, but in different ways, because the recipients have different capacities. This point must enter to enable you to understand all religions teach the same truth. And there is no need to develop dissension, disharmony, in the name of teachings and religions. With this, I will conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.